Thank you very much. So I'm now at Texas A&M University, but all of this work was conducted at the University of Florida in John Erickson's lab. So up front, I'd like to thank John and also the USDA for funding this work. So to introduce this topic, I put up this picture of this monocultured crop with the perfect rows that so many of us, we've all seen out in the field. With the uniformity above ground, most people don't think about what's happening below ground. And the same genetics that make the above ground parts of the plant uniform also make uniformity below ground. And with some amount of environmental plasticity. Well, this this uniformity in root system architecture likely leads to inefficiency in resource use in the crop. This would likely happen because of limited soil area and volume explored by the roots, and intensified plant competition for resources, and an increased likelihood of nutrient and water loss from the root zone, which I'll describe more in a second. So when you're looking at model systems, natural systems are probably the best place to look, right? Because we have a lot of different plant types with a lot of different types of rooting architectures there. Like in this diagram, we have long roots that go deep. We have ones that go over a more broad area, but they're not as dense, and all kinds. And so in these kind of systems, in general, this maximizes recovery of nutrients and water, like you can see in ecological literature. So how do we get those kind of benefits in an agricultural system is the question. So I drew up these three schemes, because in these studies I've focused on sorghum, and so that's what these crops are. On the far left, I have a rooting architecture that goes more deep. In the middle, one that's more shallow, and those are both monocultures. And then the on the far right, I have a diverse crop, right, where I have deep, shallows, more intermediate kind of plants all interspersed into the same system. So if you look at these monoculture scenarios, you have areas where we have functional overlap, right, or concentration areas of roots. So in the deep scenario, it happened right there kind of in the mid point in the root zone. In the other scenario, right up at the top. You also would have areas of, more areas of limited spatial coverage. So in the scenario on the left, that might happen between plants within a row, but especially between the rows, right, where you'd have 30 inches or more. You might have big gaps in rooting coverage in those areas. Maybe the most significant problem you would get would be in the other, in the middle there, where you get roots that just don't go as deep, limiting the overall scope of the root zone. More chances for loss, especially in high leaching environments like in Florida. Well, in the biodiverse crop, because we have more efficient and broad spatial coverage, should have minimized functional overlap, that should lead to a more efficient and resilient crop. So our hypothesis in these studies was that nitrogen recovery and access to water with increasing architectural, or nitrogen recovery and access to water will improve with increasing architectural diversity in the root system of the crop. So that would happen by tighter nitrogen cycling, especially by reducing leaching and runoff losses. That would lead to greater yield per unit nitrogen applied. The crop should have a better ability to handle water deficit and more efficient and resilient. So these are some pictures of the parent plants of the population that we use to test this this hypothesis. So you can see just how different those are, and this helps to kind of put into perspective what the genetic diversity in this trait is like. The one is almost, it's like the head of a broom, I'm almost going straight down. The other one would push roots way out into the row centers. So from these two parent plants, about 150 recombinant inbred lions were generated, and we've used those plants to test this hypothesis. So we'll talk a little bit about our experimental approach. This picture is is the actual study planted in 2014, the results of which I'm going to talk about today. So these studies are broken into three phases. I'll just talk about phase one today. In phase one, we were focusing on testing diversity and comparing that with monocultures. So the monocultures were either shallow or deep, like I showed in my diagram. And the diverse mixtures, we had 3, 6, 9, or 12 plant lines with a balanced ratio of architectural types in there. So in this case, to get those multiples of 3, we put intermediately rooted plants also. System architecture was verified by root coring at multiple soil depths. That's the way it's generally done. Right? You don't, unless you have small studies, you don't excavate all the roots. You just take a sampling and you compare it multiple depths in order to see how they differ among your treatments to see if there are architectural differences. So the other phases I'm not going to talk about, we're going to look more intensively at nitrogen recovery and access to water. Okay, so the focus is here. To look for in the results, we're first verifying architectural differences that we expected to get. So it's important to make a note, like most researchers, when they're trying to do these kind of studies, they use proxy measurements to figure out what kind of an architecture their plants have in order to screen it. And in the case of sorghum and maize, a common way to do that is to get the angle of the crown root. And that's the root right at the base of the stem. Jose down here in the audience, he helped us out to get that preliminary data, taking the angle of many plants so that we could select them. But they had to actually be verified, so that we knew we were getting the kind of architecture we expected to get. And that's been really problematic for researchers in field conditions. They'll do the pre-screening, and then in reality, it doesn't pan out. We also focused on the effect of rooting diversity on root growth and yield. So we wanted to know specifically if rooting competition changed with diversity. What I mean by that is, like, you can see in the literature there are studies where they show, depending on what's going on in the root zone, plants will compete for rooting space, and that's manifest in an intensification of biomass allocation to the roots. So we wanted to know if that sort of thing was happening. And we also looked at interactions with nitrogen. So it's well known nitrogen can influence the amount of biomass the roots devote, or the plant devotes to the root system. So we had nitrogen treatments as part of this. Okay. So the first part of my data was we found that rooting architecture and competition in rooting were unaffected by biodiversity. So in this data, I just have my diversity treatments represented by the B3, 6, 9, 12, 3, 6, 9, and 12 plant lines. And then I have my two soil depths, and the two parameters there are root mass density and specific root length. So you can see that these were statistically identical all across the board, and there aren't even systematical or kind of differences in terms of trends. Very uniform all the way across there. Which I found really surprising, because what I just described in, how if you had different architectures and the plants were competing with each other, like I described in that first slide, you might expect that we would have shifts in here that would be, the competition would be intensified or alleviated depending on, how diverse or less diverse it was, and we didn't see that at all. But we did find architectural differences among the monocultures and diverse cultures, which was that validation step that I talked about earlier. So we're very happy to see this. So this was the case in most instances. I have the same parameters here, root mass density and specific root length. So to take that bottom left graph, for example, the results panned out as we expected. So the blue line is the shallowly rooted monocultures. Right, and down in the lower soil profile, we had less root mass density down there. And it was opposite for the deeply rooted ones, and then the biodiverse ones were exactly intermediate, just like we would have expected to see. Specific root length, that is the length of roots per unit mass, and that basically helped us to see the location of root types, right? So if you can imagine the root zone of sorghum, it has thicker primary roots, you know, basically the stuff you saw in those pictures earlier, the stuff that makes like the broom head looking portion. That kind of root will have will have lower specific root length, and the secondary roots that proliferate off of that, they'll have more length per unit mass, right? So the divergence you can see in that data over there, that basically shows the kind of roots that are in each of those two zones, and that helped to further validate that we had what we think we had, right? Because again, to take the bottom graph, the red line there, that was the deep-rooted monocultures. They had lower specific root length, showing more of that primary rooting structure. It was down there in the lower zone, and the opposite for the shallow. And so in this first year, yield did not differ among the treatments, but variability decreased as the diversity increased, which was pretty interesting. So at the left graph, that shows the yield data as a function of nitrogen. Those are all statistically the same. And then the other graph shows the coefficient of variation, you know, which is what I'm using to draw my conclusion that yield variability or yield stability was better with increasing diversity. That's been used a lot, especially in ecology literature, and it seems to be a reasonable way to interpret this data here also. I don't have data from this year. However, we had two studies that ran in this past season. As the data is pouring in, we did find a yield advantage with diversity in at least two instances this year. So, I think that especially in yield, I think it's going to depend on the environmental conditions. In this year that I'm describing here, it was in Florida. It was really sort of a dry year. No heavy leaching events. It was pretty mild and normal. But then in the 2015 season, we had heavy leaching events almost constantly. And I think that created more of a divergence in what we saw, and it shifted the balance toward the diversity treatments. So, yeah, thank you very much.